This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Ridiculousness in the Republican Party. I'm sure there's plenty of it in the Democrats as well, but the Republicans are, of course, on display in the last 24 hours with their debates. And, of course, Donald Trump not going to the debate, instead doing a nearly hour-long interview with Tucker Carlson and getting, what, 200 million views or something like that?
Wow.
Last I
More than the
saw.
Debate?
Well, the problem is Twitter's view count isn't exactly, you know, honest in that it's when it says 200 million views, that can mean somebody who tuned in for 20 seconds and then tuned out. And that counts as a view.
Well, how did they count? Did they not do that on television?
Well, that's a good question. In television land, Nielsen does the ratings for television. If it's anything like their radio ratings, which they also do, they rate how many people watch on a 15-minute basis, I think, is a typical share of a rating. They may also do a total number of viewers as well. And I've heard that the total number was like 12 million or something like that.
On the debate last night.
On the debate last night. So good chance, though, that of Tucker's 200, I'll get you a current number on that, of his over, you know, 200 million looks like 243 million right now, according to Twitter. Of that, there's a good chance that, yeah, probably 10% stuck around, right? Wouldn't you say? Maybe 10, one out of 10 people probably bothered to watch the whole thing. That's just, I'm just shot in the dark.
I mean, a lot of people watching it is just somebody putting it on in a bar for people to have on. Maybe,
true.
Maybe not a bar, but, you know, like a get-together.
And a get-together like that would count as more than one view, and they don't count that, right? So
yeah.
If it's just a stream that's playing and there's 100 people in a room watching it, it still only counts as one view. But presuming that 10% actually bothered to stick around for it, that would still put Tucker at twice the number of viewers as the Fox News. And again, the 12 million probably didn't all stay through the whole thing either. There were probably, you know, some fraction of the 12 million that actually watched the whole debate. I don't know how long it went for. I'm guessing an hour and a half or more. So I don't know. If you want to comment on that, you're certainly welcome to do so. We're going to go back to your calls and thoughts. Meanwhile, by the way, Donald Trump is expected to have turned himself in a half an hour ago, 7:30 Eastern time. He was expected to show up in Atlanta at the Fulton County, some facility down there, and turn himself in for processing. Apparently,
I wonder if it's where they are really bad to our caller, Stephen. You know, he kept getting thrown in jail.
I think he was in North Georgia, so no. But I'm sure they're really bad there, too. But in this case, because Donald Trump is connected, he doesn't actually have to go to jail. He's just going to have to go and get booked, essentially. So there's probably going to be an actual mugshot.
That'd be entertaining.
This time. And that's actually likely going to be good for Trump, because somebody pointed out on one of these articles about it that apparently the first time Trump got arrested, where they didn't take his picture in New York, they used AI to generate a mugshot, and then they started sharing that around, and they got a lot of, you know, donations or whatever based on that. So
Wow. They
like the idea of Trump having a mugshot because it makes this more
It makes him look
serious.
Like a victim. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, he's expected. I guess he's probably being processed right now. The noteworthy thing here, I think, tonight beyond the mugshot is he's not going to go to jail. He's already been granted $200,000 bail. So he's just going through the motions of getting booked, fingerprinted, mugshotted, or whatever that procedure is, being given a court date, because bail has already been paid. The $200,000 is already paid. There's no chance he's going to have to go sit in jail over this. So if you want to comment, though, apparently there's a lot of people outside protesting, etc. Let's go to Skeeter in California, though. Skeeter, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
You, Ian, you almost sounded like an accelerationist when you said the system has to fail before you start to convince people.
Well, I figured that you would say something
Ian
like that.
Ian said stuff like that way before you even started listening to the show.
But the fact is, I don't think there's really anything you can do that is going to accelerate its decline. But anyway, what were you calling about tonight?
Oh, you mean by voting? Actually, yeah, you can use reductio. I mean, a grassroots voting movement has to start somewhere.
But voting anyways, is never going to change anything. If it did, they'd make it illegal. But what were you calling about tonight?
Yeah, and also, fear-mongering. But I also wanted to add voting to improve the system or repeal government conveys an implicit message that democracy works.
Right? No, it doesn't do that. I mean, that's what people like our co-host Captain Kickass believe. They believe that by voting, they're endorsing the system and that, you know, they don't want to do it, so that's fine. Certainly their choice. But there are many of us who vote that do not endorse the system, and a lot of us vote to simply try to reduce the damage that is being done, to try to get decent people who actually care about liberty, for instance, here in New Hampshire, elected, and we have been successful at doing that. There are dozens of liberty-minded state representatives, some more so than others, but there are dozens of them in seats of the state representatives here in New Hampshire, and that is because of voting.
I wouldn't want to put people that represent my philosophy on a sinking ship, in charge of a sinking ship. But I'm really calling in to tell you guys need to stop calling impartial critics of secession fearmongers like me and those boomers that called in yesterday.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Impartial?
Yeah, so yesterday, me and, well, I never got on, but some other people were criticizing your secession movement on grounds
what
that
secession
I agree
movement?
With.
New Hampshire
the New Hampshire secession movement, yes. This man named, I think, well, I don't want to say his name.
Oh, this is the old guy
yeah,
that...
He called from Tennessee saying if... He's called two
he's called
weeks
a couple
ago
times,
saying
yeah.
that if the New Hampshire secedes, then boo. Poof, there goes electricity. Poof, there goes
the roads.
Roads,
right.
That's what he said. And he doesn't understand
right.
that.
No, he's not. He's crazy.
Right.
No,
he's
he
crazy
doesn't understand
paranoid.
That for one thing, New Hampshire actually controls their own electricity, so he just didn't know that.
New Hampshire also had roads before the federal government, believe it or not.
And
yeah,
there are humans that
are federal.
Able to maintain
so
themselves.
By the way, Skeeter, federal interstates are only quote-unquote... paid for by the Fed.
And how can you
they're
get
not maintained.
How can you get offended whenever somebody says that it's fear-mongering what he is saying when all you're doing is saying, they'll take it, and you don't have any kind
because,
of evidence?
Because we have nothing to gain. It's you guys that are Pollyannas, you biased free staters who are acting like Pollyannas, looking at secession through rose-colored glasses to demagogue gullible hippies into your foolish movement.
So
we have nothing to gain. That's the difference.
It's not that you have to have something to gain, and it's not that I have something like to gain either in
we
this
do.
Argument.
We
it's
definitely
just...
do. The pro-secession people, the pro-secession people have a lot to gain. That is to say, we will be
I'm just
no
saying,
longer
we're talking with this
thumb.
Idiot on the radio. I'm not saying talk like that if we secede. I'm talking
okay.
about this.
Well, I
want to
talk about secession.
Well, yeah, Ian, but I'm talking about secession too. I'm just saying it's not that I can't have an opinion on something because it like. Well, I'm also for it. That doesn't make any sense. That's so stupid. And it's not that you have nothing to gain either. You want things to go downhill, and if people secede, it's not going to work. So.
Oh no, the U.S. government will still go downhill without New Hampshire around. I think that if New
no, I'm
Hampshire
saying it won't
Texas,
be like a big disaster.
It can survive if you don't accelerate it. That's the trouble.
He just
what?
Says a bunch of stupid things.
Hold on, I
want
to understand what he's saying.
Answer him all last night.
I understand. I just want to know. I get it. I just want to know what he's saying. What are you saying, Skeeter?
Why do you care?
If you're not careful, like a great enough technological advancement can bail out the government from its downfall, like the A-bomb did, I believe. Like that's just a theory.
You think the A-bomb?
He's just saying that if you aren't. Trying to make sure that the acceleration, like you're not trying to accelerate the end of the federal government, then it can survive. Okay, who cares? We can also
yeah.
just leave
just
it.
Like,
that's
I,
a
I
way easier solution.
Through an analogy, like if you imagine like some guy that's in debt, like a lot of money, but if you wait around long enough, he'll win the lottery.
Okay, and this is the thing I'm saying about Skeeter. It's like he doesn't have anything actually important to say. Like, he doesn't come and say, like, oh, look at this example of this thing about secession. He just calls in to say, I think they'll take your roads. And that's fear mongering. That means that you just want people to say that you think something will happen.
You know,
that's so
Skeeter,
stupid. They'll take the post office.
Hold on, hold on, Bonnie. I just want to have a conversation with
Skeeter. Why? Why do you want to? I like when
because
you
I want to have. I want to respond to what he's saying.
He doesn't have anything intelligent to say.
Okay, I appreciate where you're coming from on that. But the fact is, there are going to be people who make objections to secession, and we have to be able to address.
And I had a completely rational and nice conversation with one last night.
Great.
Actually, two.
Skeeter, you do understand that when you cross from the United States into Mexico and Canada, that the roads don't stop, right?
What's the point?
Well, you understand that because you were talking about how the federal government has all these interstates or whatever, as though that matters in any way, shape, or form. You know those roads aren't going to just go away when New Hampshire or Texas or California secedes from the United States.
The interstates? Yeah, but you won't be able to access them. Number one, they'll sanction you to death. Huh?
Why wouldn't we be able to get on the road that's already there?
You are committing treason.
No,
I mean, that's by definition
not treason. And thank you for the call tonight.
This is what I'm saying. It's just like you can't have an actual conversation with him. And he called in originally to say that he thinks it's unfair to call it fear-mongering, like the call that we got last night where the guy was saying, secession won't work because roads will go poof or whatever. It's literally fear-mongering when all you're doing is saying, I don't think that will work because, this is the worst-case scenario. What if they do this and you don't have anything to point to? It's not like you're like, in 1996, this happened, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, so I can understand why people get scared about this. I mean, there was a civil war, and that did have to do... Okay, well, I mean, they are a violent bunch of people, so I get the fear. I understand. This is an abusive spouse, and it's probably scary to...
Does that change the fact that it's fear-mongering?
No, it doesn't. But I understand why people are afraid. Now, people like Skeeter are not honest, I don't think, intellectually.
And that's the thing. Last night when I was talking to this guy about this, I suggested that he read Articles of Secession by Olle Axelman. It can answer a whole lot of these objections people have.
Sure, but we've got to answer them on the air because we can't just point to somebody to go and read a book online. Olle's a great author.
It's just
there's
a boring
no doubt about it.
Conversation to sit there and try to convince a dumb old man.
Well, that's
man
the thing. You're
Skeeter
not going
to
convince
dumb.
Skeeter, okay? But you have to remember there's people out there listening that may have similar objections that may not be as ornery as the old man or as, you know, incompetent as Skeeter or whatever. And they may bring up through their through their anger or their incompetence,
they may bring up
some sort of objection that deserves to be looked at. And the claim he made there toward the end of the call that it's treason is a claim that deserves some attention, because a lot of people believe this. And the fact is, we know it's not treason. First of all you have to do is look at the actual definition of treason, right? Because it's one thing for somebody to get on the air and say a thing's true, and then no one bothers to check them on it. Okay, well, let's look it up. Treason on dictionary.com, the offense of acting to overthrow one's government or to harm or kill its sovereign. Secession by peaceful means, which is what we're talking about here. Just to clarify, we're not talking about dropping bombs or shooting somebody. We're talking about a vote that will happen at some point here in New Hampshire that hopefully 2/3 of the population will support. And then we will say, bye-bye. We'll declare our independence from this federal system and become an independent nation. Again, by the way, New Hampshire was an independent nation prior to joining the United States. And we will once again have a president in New Hampshire and so on. That is not an overthrow of the government.
Yeah, the United States government still continues by itself, just doesn't have power over the New Hampshire government. And New Hampshire is a sovereign government, and there's no talk of overthrowing it either.
And that's not to say that they won't get upset about it. They may very well get upset about it. Remember during the Obama second term, there was that online, they had this
poll.
I don't know if it was a poll, but it was like you submit a petition. You submitted a petition, and then you tried to get 100,000 people to sign the petition, and then Obama would answer the petition, whatever it was. Whatever the question was, he would answer the petition, supposedly, right? Obviously, they're not going to answer the tough questions like, you know, do you think 9/11 was an inside job? You know, so, but surprisingly, there were over 100,000 people, if I recall correctly, who voted, who signed this petition for Texas, talking about Texas seceding from the United States. And Obama's response, he did respond to it, was something to the effect of, we settled that with the Civil War. And
which isn't like how you legally go about settling things.
No, it's not. But that's how a violent group of people goes about settling things, right? Might makes right, according to these people. They used violence. They got their way. And so the suggestion that he didn't verbally say this, but if you read between the lines, the suggestion is that Barack Obama would use violence if a state like Texas tried to secede. Now, that's just talk. And it may not have actually panned out that way. But to go back to the question of, and I don't think it would pan out that way either, because it's not the 1800s. Information travels quickly today. The examples of secession that are more recent are much more peaceful. Look at Brexit as a perfect example. Very similar circumstance, a very similar union, and they were able to leave Europe, the European Union, with no violence.
Yeah, you didn't hear on the news that there was some politician even saying, I think we should bomb them.
Yeah, I don't recall ever hearing that. You're right.
And if there was, people would be like, that's utterly insane. But it's 2023. People aren't going to support the federal government bombing New Hampshire.
I agree. They're not going to support it.
Sanctioning them to death until they comply. Yep, people are not going to be okay with that.
You mentioned last night, I think, on the show about the polling numbers that Riley had said 29% or whatever,
yeah,
supporting secession.
Sure about it.
And you were correct, Bonnie, that those numbers are not staying consistent. They've shifted dramatically since the first poll that was done in 2022 did show 29% of New Hampshireites supporting independence for New Hampshire right then, and that number has dropped to about 16%. Now the question,
I don't know if that really means it dropped or there's just some other factor. I mean, when you've only done two studies on this,
there's only two. And it's only been 2 years, so we're going to hopefully do another one next year, and we'll see what the numbers are then. But the numbers also weren't comparing apples to apples because the question wasn't exactly the same, and it wasn't done by the same polling organization. So there's some differences between the two. And if you're interested in learning more about the secession numbers, the polling numbers, then go to nhexit.us. You'll find a detailed article that I wrote comparing last year's survey with this year's survey. You can click in and you can dig into the actual results from the pollsters and do your own dig in and, you know, figuring things out. But one of the things we learned last year, if you remember, Bonnie, there was this lady named Karen who made a big hubbub.
It's funny. I don't even remember her last name. I just remember she's a Karen.
Yeah, I don't either. But if you were to go back at nhexit.us, you could learn that too. And anyway, this Karen got all upset over this bill that we believe is going to come back, by the way, next year. But the bill to allow the people of New Hampshire
to—I
don't think it's a secret—and it hasn't happened yet, but supposedly it's coming back. But anyway, the bill that would have allowed the people of New Hampshire to vote on the question of peaceful independence pissed this lady off so bad that she brought a
complaint.
Yeah, I think that's the right word. Complaint to the Ballot Law Commission, which is a group of state reps and lawyers or whatever that make decisions for
Concord.
Yeah, they meet in Concord once a month or whatever, and they make decisions about whether this thing violated the law or not, whatever thing is brought in front of them. So this lady brought this complaint in front of them, and she said she wanted these state representatives to be prohibited from ever running for office in New Hampshire again, that they would not be allowed to run for re-election. I don't know if that would be kicking them out of office or whatever, but at the very least, at the end of their term, they were done. They couldn't come back because, quote-unquote, treason. Because this is treason. This is
Insurrection.
Things like that, right? And so what happened in this, and there's video of this meeting. I recorded this video. You can see it. It's on the Freekeen channel on Odyssey over at video.freekeen.com. It's linked on nhexit.us. And there's a part of this video after Ms. Karen gives her presentation on why she thinks these reps should be restricted. There were, by the way, 13 state reps that voted to allow the people to vote on independence. And after she's done with her presentation, the ballot law commission turns to the lawyer from the attorney general's office in New Hampshire. He is one of the assistant attorney generals. And look, I'm no fan of the attorney general, okay? These are the people that prosecute drug possession and things like that. So.
Oh, Karen Steele.
Steele with an E.
S-T-E-E-L-E.
Yeah, yeah. So they turn to this lawyer, and the lawyer says, no, this is not treason, essentially. And he goes into why. Because, as we said earlier, it is not an overthrow. It's not violent. Violent. That's what an overthrow is. It's not an overthrow when people go to a ballot box and vote on something. That's the use of a democratic process that is put into the, literally using the Constitution of New Hampshire, which talks about this.
Mm-hmm. So, the other part is that in New Hampshire, I don't know about every state, but in New Hampshire, the House members, they have some kind of a protection to where even if they're proposing something that, maybe not violence, but maybe if they're proposing something that normally they could get in trouble for, mm-hmm. well, they can't because they have this protection because they're...
Yeah, they have some protection as far as what they can say when they're testifying or in front of the state reps. And they also even have, like, a protection on violating the law. So if you, I'm sure that I suspect you can't murder somebody. There's certain things they're going to enforce. But if you were to, like, strike up a joint or something, like roll a marijuana cigarette and smoke it, violating the smoking ban, indoor businesses, and violating the possession of marijuana, they would not be able to be arrested if they were on the House floor.
Oh, my God. Somebody should totally do that for activism.
They should, but...
It's not going to be me, but if some New Hampshire person... if somebody becomes a state rep and then, wants to make the point, like, listen, it's harmless, we should decriminalize...
Well, Bonnie, you're
tomato.
Qualified in 2024.
Yeah, but I'm not going to win because it's Keene, so...
You should run as a Democrat.
I'm not going to win as a Democrat in Keene either.
Yeah, probably not.
With the last name Freeman.
Yeah, true.
Too much freedom.
So anyway, that's the answer. The whole claim that it's treason is complete bunk, but yet that is something that people who are against secession will bring up, and they are just, they don't know what the definition of treason is, and they're relying on you to be ignorant and just think, oh, yeah, that is treason.
And that's a huge reason I don't like to talk to Skeeter at all is because he just says things and doesn't know what he's even talking about. So
no, a lot of the times he's literally reading something and doesn't even understand the words coming out of his own mouth.
Yeah, you start asking the question about it. He's like, listen.
Let me finish. All right, the number here is 603-283-6160. Oh, by the way, he and others who are no longer members of our Odyssey channel are no longer allowed to chat on the Odyssey
chat.
As of, I think, two nights ago, we made that members only by request. We'll tell you how you can become a member of our Odyssey stream coming up here in moments. And you can join us at 603-283-6160.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
U.S. USA News Update. New York State's trying to streamline its employment process for asylum seekers in the absence of federal action.
New York Labor Commissioner Roberta Reardon says the state will connect migrants with employers so they can immediately take a job once they're authorized.
Some workers may be offered jobs before they get their working papers, but they will not be allowed to go to work until their authorizations arrive.
Migrants may have to move to other parts of the state once they find work. Emergency Commissioner Jackie Bray says the goal is to alleviate overburdened shelters.
We're going to do everything we can to increase resettlement and to increase ways to independent living rather than re-sheltering.
I'm Natalie Migliori, New York.
Subway is officially being acquired by a private equity firm. The restaurant chain made that announcement Thursday. They're selling the business to Roark Capital Group. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Talk Live. You can join the show and you can bring up anything you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight is Ian
and Bonnie.
Join us online anytime you want. Head over to freetalklive.com. We just talk on occasion about our amplifiers, and thank you to Nicole Edge, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our amps program, and she's gold level, which means Nicole's doing $10 a month, twice what we are asking for. So thank you, Nicole, for that. You can join her by going to amps.freetalklive.com. That takes you over to our Patreon page. And Patreon is one way to support the show, but some people, understandably, don't much care for Patreon. They are, they got problems, right? Like they're kind of woke or whatever terminology you want to use, political. They ban certain people from their platform. We haven't been banned. Maybe we will be someday. Hopefully not. But you never know. So it's good to have another alternative, and we do have that in the form of Odyssey. Odyssey is our prime video streaming and video playback platform. If you go and check it out at video.freetalklive.com, that is where you'll find our live stream. In fact, if you go to watch.freetalklive.com, it takes you straight to the live stream. But if you go to video.freetalklive.com, it takes you to our channel. And, of course, you can follow the channel there That costs nothing. You do need to have an account. That's free to register. But if you want to back us with $5 a month, then you can do that as well by clicking, I believe it is the join button, if I recall correctly, at the top of the channel. That will give you access to the Odyssey Now members-only chat room. Some people were getting frustrated by the trolls that were in there. Remember those trolls that came over from YouTube?
Yep.
They act like they're federal agents. They're so dedicated to the show. It's insane.
And
they hate
the
us.
Show, yeah.
They hate us so much.
Like, imagine watching us for 3 hours every night just to say, we hate Ian. And
we hate Bitcoin.
Yeah, he sells Bitcoin and he's so bad.
Yeah. So those guys are gone unless they want to pay $5 a month, in which case then I guess they would be allowed into the room. And certainly the federal budget could afford $5 a month for the show. But for now, it's calmed down in there. People seem to be the few people that are members. We don't have a ton of members on our Odyssey channel. So if you want to support us without supporting Patreon, where a portion of your the money that you're contributing goes to Odyssey, and you want to have an exclusive members-only chat room, jump on in there. Of course, we have our own chat server over at our Matrix server, which you can learn about at chat.freetalklive.com, but that's very different. There's, like, no moderation whatsoever to that, and there's a ton of trolls in there. So enjoy that over there. We got Good Vibes 559 in there right now. It was actually his suggestion that we take the room members only. So thank you for supporting the show, guys. Now we know that anyone talking in that chat room is an actual supporter. So they're more worth actually paying attention to over at video.freetalklive.com. We were just talking about secession. We had a caller bring it up. And apparently you had this old guy call into the show last night, Bonnie, and I've been off the show both times this old coot called in, and it's a shame because I've loved to have had a chance to respond to him.
Yeah, because the first time, whenever he said the federal government would take away electricity, Nikki Riley and I didn't really know if the federal government controls the electricity in New Hampshire. We're like, I don't know. I guess none of us pay electric bills.
Yeah, that is true. I think we actually talked about that after the show, and not a single one of you guys has ever had to.
That's what you said.
Pay an electric bill.
Well, I don't know for sure about the other two, but I know for sure about me.
Well, Riley's always lived with somebody else, right?
I always had to pay, like, give money for my electric bill. I've just never been the one who
has it under their name.
Yeah, has it under their name. It just
so you don't even know the
way.
Name. You don't even know the name of the electric company.
I do. It's Eversource.
Oh, you do.
I just remember that, like, after we were talking about it.
But in New Hampshire, the electricity has had some level of deregulation. It's not enough what they've done here in New Hampshire, but they've done something. So in New Hampshire, you can actually choose a different, what they call, supplier. So Eversource does what they call delivery. They also do supply.
And that's the thing. I didn't know that this wasn't just like a company, but they work for the federal government or whatever. Even if I remember the name.
I don't think they work for the federal government.
No, I'm saying I didn't know that before.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. But no, they are what is called a supplier and a deliverer. But in New Hampshire, they allow you to choose your supplier. So you can go with Eversource. I think by default, you're on Eversource. But if somebody offers you a better price per kilowatt hour, you can switch to that other company. And so that's a way that they've tried to keep prices down on power here in New Hampshire. Now, what you were referring to when you're in our call tonight, Bonnie, is that New Hampshire does have a nuclear power plant that is, as I understand it, in operation and does provide power for some portion of the northeastern seaboard.
Now, yeah, and isn't it like federal laws that are keeping us from being able to have a second one?
There's definitely a lot of federal laws prohibiting the
EPA
construction of nuclear facilities in the entire United States. And that's as I understand.
So without
it.
The feds in the way, we could probably have even cleaner, better energy.
Cleaner
if
and cheaper.
A second one of those.
In fact, I think Carla Garrick from the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence has been saying that there is some authorization that New Hampshire has to build a second nuclear power plant. But I don't know anything else beyond that. I don't know if that's like the federal government has signed off on it or the reason why that's not happening. I'm not following that closely, but that's what she's going out there saying, and I think that's very interesting.
And I'm still shocked that Carla Garrick has been booted off of Twitter. They said that she broke the rules, and they still haven't let her back for like 2 months or something.
No, they deleted her account.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So she's like banned forever.
Yeah, it's crazy.
If you want to comment here, the number is 603-283-6160. But since independence came up and since the claim of treason was brought up yet again, I wanted to go to our friends over at the Texas Nationalist Movement, Daniel Miller at TNM.me. That's their website. I don't have Daniel on the phone or anything. But
TexasNationalMovement.me.
Texas Nationalist Movement.
Oh.
TNM.me. And it reminded me the claim of, oh, secession's treasonous, which we've already knocked out earlier by bringing up the actual definition of treason, which is the offense of acting to overthrow one's government or to harm or kill its sovereign. That is not what is being proposed in Texas, and that is not what is being proposed in New Hampshire. What is being proposed here is that the people of New Hampshire be able to vote on this question of peaceful independence. When 67% or two-thirds of New Hampshire's voters vote to declare independence, that is all they will be doing. They will not be firing on a federal fort. They will not be shooting at federal politicians. They will just simply be saying goodbye, that we're ending this agreement that we signed in 1786, I think it was, 1784, somewhere in that range. That's all it'll be. But yet they keep trotting this, the people who hate secession, the people who hate independence, the people who love national governments, they keep trotting this out, this claim about treason. And the folks down at the Texas Nationalist Movement, who have been at this for 3 decades, by the way, they have been, you know, they know what they're doing. They got lawyers. They got donors. We're kind of just getting the ball rolling up here in New Hampshire by comparison, so they've got a lot of experience down there. And recently, a state representative in Texas went off against Texas Nationalist Movement.
Yep.
And claimed that they were treasonous.
Mm-hmm.
Well, TNM said, we're suing.
Yep, because that's a real claim. It's not just, I mean, people are using it
it's
just
a false
as
claim.
A buzzword.
Yeah. No, it's that is what you would call a libel. That's
yep.
That's libel.
Libel.
Thank you. Libel. So what do? Well, in this case, they file the lawsuit. What happened? Daniel Miller writes about it over at TNM.me. He says our current political climate has loosened many tongues, and people don't want to be held accountable for anything they say, no matter how wrong. State Representative Jeff Leach is a prime... I should talk like Daniel. A prime example.
You're not good at that.
No,
he has
I'm not.
A nice country
He's
accent.
He's got a great accent.
It's like, I don't know, he sounds... I don't know, more refined
like
than the way
me.
You just did it.
Yeah. That's why when Jeff Leach accused Texas supporters of treason and sedition... which is another word that has to do with, I think, violence. We'll have to look up sedition.
Sedition.
We stood proudly behind our members and helped sue Jeff Leach for defamation. While the lawsuit was just recently dismissed, this week's episode was recorded, he says, prior to the judge's decision. Our deep dive into this groundbreaking case will still nonetheless provide you with the best insight to understand this ruling and what it means for Texas supporters now.
And I remember looking up this definition before I looked up sedition, and I looked it up before because I wrote an article on the libertyblock.com about Brody Deshays, a state rep here, saying that it was, saying that if people voted for CACR 32, it'd be sedition and treason.
Oh, did he say sedition?
Yeah, I looked it up because I was writing an article
right.
about how he was wrong. So it means conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against the authority of a state.
Boom. And if you look up rebel,
yep.
it has to do with violence.
Right.
And again, a violent overthrow, which is, I guess, not what we're talking about here. So apparently they did a show about this on Texas News with Daniel Miller, an analysis of the defamation lawsuit. We're not going to play that, but he sort of wraps up the story by saying that in order for this case to be dismissed, so they didn't get a judgment against Leach, but Leach was forced to admit This is the state rep who called them treasonous and seditious. He was forced to admit that Texit or supporting Texit is not treason or sedition.
Nice.
While this may be seen as a victory for Leach, it is just public record that Jeff Leach had to eat his own words when faced with the law. You see, it's up to us to hold politicians accountable for the words they say. As soon as they're publicly called out, or in Leach's case, taken to court, they are forced to stop spreading their baseless lies. Leach may have won his game of checkers, but the TNM is playing a game of chess, and ultimately, we just took one more step toward Texas independence. And he's right. If you can get this on the record, and it sounds like it is, that this state representative calling them seditious and treasonous has to come back, recant what he said, and admit that he was wrong, then that is going to look bad for any other state reps that try the same thing, and then they end up getting sued, and then they have to hire a lawyer. No one wants to do this, by the way. No one wants to go to court. No one wants to hire lawyers. It is an expensive process. You don't get a refund, you know, from your lawyer at the end. If you win the case, you might be able to get the other side to pay for your attorneys. But up front, you got to pay those costs.
Yeah.
And here in New Hampshire, the state reps are not lawyers for the most part. They're not professional politicians. There's 400 of them, and they get paid $100 a year. So, you know, hiring an attorney, you got to pay him $300 just to sit down and listen to you.
Plus, it just proves that they're wrong.
Exactly.
Because, you know, the judge, a lawyer, had to decide that it was untrue what he was saying.
Yeah, and I haven't read the decision or whatever in this particular case, but I have no reason to believe that TNM is misrepresenting it or anything like that. So anybody else that goes out and says Texas Nationalist Movement supporters are seditious, they're going to get slapped with the same lawsuit. They're going to have to hire an attorney, and they may indeed get the case dismissed as this guy did, but it's going to cost them. And eventually they're going to learn. If TNM keeps suing, if this keeps happening, they will learn eventually that they don't want to go through this process.
Ian, let's get this on the record. If Texas seceded like next year and your federal stuff all got dropped, so you were allowed to leave New Hampshire, would you move back to Texas with me?
I mean, I would be hard-pressed not to.
You would love Texas, Ian.
It's so big. But I visited Texas, and...
But not the good parts.
I don't know. I went to Denton once.
Yeah, I didn't even know where that was until you
told me. There was a lot of trucks. I remember a lot of trucks. Anyway, so going on. But the problem with Texas independence is that there's a lot of people that don't like personal freedoms in Texas, and I think it'll be... You'll probably see them go more hard conservative, I think, as a result of being out of the United States. So
yeah,
I don't know how long I'd want to stay there.
Texas has already been trending closer to the left anyway in my lifetime. There was this guy, Beto O'Rourke, that almost got elected. Yeah, he almost got elected there.
What, governor?
I think so.
Hmm. Well, they rank, whether they're left or right, I don't know, but they rank number 49 on the list of personal freedom states. According to the foundation, no, Cato Institute? Yeah,
I'm not
Cato
saying
Institute.
That left is better for libertarians,
yeah.
But the things that Texas is bad on are more like right-leaning people are bad.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they're getting
like
better on it, though. That's the problem. I mean, number 49 is pretty bad. So, you know, I might go to support them or whatever, but I don't know how long I'd want to stay in a authoritarian place.
Just love San Antonio.
Going on here, they say that it is up to us to hold these politicians to account. Leach may have won his game of checkers. I read that. Fighting these battles against incompetent politicians like Jeff Leach does take time, effort, and money. What Paul Davis and many other TNM officials are doing in these legal cases is a major aspect of advancing the cause of Texas independence. And so then he asks for a donation, and they are doing good work down there. Also, if you have not signed our petition to put Texit on the March primary ballot, please take the time to do so. They are trying to get, by the way, about 100,000, I think, Republicans to sign this petition and about 50,000 Democrats. That is eminently doable in a state where there's, what, 26, 29 million people or something like that. I think Texas has a lot of people. Getting 100,000 of them to sign a petition is absolutely something they can accomplish. So that'll be very interesting if Texit is able to accomplish that in 2024, is to get a question about independence. And it would just be a referendum, it wouldn't hold any actual political weight. So it would just be like, oh, that's interesting. X percentage of people support independence for Texas. And that, of course, is the big question, is what would it actually end up being? Because you can do polls, as we were talking about, Bonnie, with the polls here in New Hampshire, ranging from 16 to 29% of people in New Hampshire who support independence, like right now, ready to secede.
Yeah, still pretty good if you think of it that way, 16 to 29%.
I agree. I think 16 is darn good. I mean, that's one out of six, roughly, that support independence. That, to me, is a good starting point.
Like, right now. Like, that right now, question today. Was, if it was able to vote, would you want it to happen 2 days?
Right now. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So, anyway, getting, you know, finding out on an actual ballot question would be much more useful than just polling 1,000 people randomly by phone or I think it was actually, I think UNH does internet polling. So if you want to learn more about it, check out Texas Nationalist Movement, TNM.me, and also NHExit.us. I haven't seen many updates on what's going on out in California with CalExit, but if you've been paying attention and you want to update us on that, feel free to join us here at 603-283-6160 to circle back to where we were earlier tonight talking about BRICS, the other big economic alliance out there. Because I did check and I found a discussion at Quora.com about is BRICS military related? And as I suspected, BRICS is not a military alliance. So that is just an economic alliance between these countries. They want to work together on certain things. They are indeed forming they do already have a bank. So one of the things that the guy from South Africa was saying, this is their central bank governor talking about the idea of having their own currency to use between the BRICS nations, saying you have to get a banking union, a fiscal union, macroeconomic convergence, where will the common central bank be located, etc. There's a lot of things that they do need to figure out, but they already have this economic, I don't know if they call it a bank, I think they do, but the BRICS has like the BRICS Economic Bank that gives loans out to BRICS members in order to promote whatever economic thing they're trying to promote. So they've already got that going on. Really, the question is, how do they sculpt this BRICS currency, which right now hasn't really been figured out, but there was some discussion about it apparently at the BRICS summit that just happened in South Africa over the last few days. BRICS leaders said they want to use their national currencies more often instead of the dollar. This is according to Reuters, which strengthened, they claim, sharply last year as the Federal Reserve raised interest rates and Russia invaded Ukraine, making dollar debt and many imports more expensive. Well, I wouldn't call the dollar strengthening. This is like typical kind of media propaganda. The dollar hasn't strengthened. Anyone that ever goes to the grocery store and actually buys things with the dollar should know that it is not buying more than it used to buy.
Isn't it basically impossible for it to strengthen unless they literally destroy a bunch of dollars?
So you would be talking about a deflationary thing, and yes, that would...
That's the only way.
Possibly,
right?
Maybe... That might have an effect on price if they destroyed enough of them, but they're not.
But they don't do that, so.
I mean, what they do, as I understand it, and if you follow this closer, feel free to call us in at 603-283-6160. As I understand it, what they do is they just allow loans that they've made to get paid back, and then they don't make them again. So that is a level of deflation. And the reason that's deflation is because whenever a loan is issued, it is money that comes out of thin air.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not just talking about the Federal Reserve. I'm talking about, like, banks.
Yeah.
So whenever you sign a document to initiate a loan, you're basically signing an authorization to create money that never existed before. And so when you pay that loan back, that money's gone. The money is no longer in circulation because essentially the dollar is a debt instrument. The dollar is evidence of debt. It is a Federal Reserve note. And the definition of note in a legal sense, in a fiscal or monetary sense, is evidence of debt.
Freaking risky note.
Yeah, that's what your dad calls it, right? So that's one way they can deflate the currency, is the Federal Reserve can just not keep issuing the same amount of loans that they were doing before, to where more loans are being paid back than they're issuing out. That would cause some level of deflation, but on the other hand, they're still printing money likely to support the government. So is it really deflating? Again, just look at the results. Okay, that's all you have to do. Whenever we go to the grocery store, we like to play a little game where you and I, we try to predict what the cost of the grocery cart is going to be and, you know, see who, quote-unquote, wins.
Ian almost always chooses a higher number than me. I guess I'm just more optimistic, and he almost always wins.
I don't know. I haven't been keeping track.
Well, yeah, I think you almost always win.
But,
And you definitely usually choose a higher number than me. I will be like, 60, and you'll be like, no way, it's more like 80, and then you win.
Yeah, there's that image that floats around online of the different, like three grocery carts and the $20 bill, and it shows how loaded a grocery cart would have been, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, and then how not as loaded it would have been 15 or 20 years ago, and then how it is today or whatever, and it's just dramatically less and less food that you're getting for your dollar. That's what you need to know about whether the dollar is strengthening or not. So whenever you hear the media saying the dollar strengthened, what they're referring to is the dollar's price in reference to other currencies. They're not talking about whether or not you have a good standard of living.
So, oh, big deal, another currency went down in value faster.
Yeah, that's basically what it means. When they say the dollar is strengthening, they just mean that they're not inflating the dollar as fast as the other currencies. That's all. That's all it means. So, Russia's sanctions imposed exile from global financial systems last year also fueled speculation that non-Western allies would shift away from the dollar. Putin told the summit Tuesday, quote, "The objective, irreversible process of de-dollarization of our economic ties is gaining momentum." And that is the most important takeaway from this whole BRICS thing, which, again, for those of you just tuning in, BRICS, which was five nations, is going to be 11 countries now. They're admitting six more countries into BRICS. And it was already a heavyweight on the world scene, and it's going to get even heavier now with apparently 80% of the world's oil-producing facilities out there, with the inclusion of the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia into BRICS. In addition, Iran, Ethiopia, Egypt, Argentina. But I did find myself wondering, what does Javier Milei think, the libertarian presidential candidate in Argentina?
Yeah, he wants to make the dollar there.
Right. So more coming up here. Hour number three is on the way. You can join us here on Free Talk Live.
It's obvious we're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrophies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamgaday.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamgaday.com. Teamgaday.com.